Well, you all know the expression, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Many of us are in a constant habit of wondering, is the grass greener? Is there something better? Is there a better job, a better relationship, a better area to live, a better place to vacation, a better school to attend? We wonder and we often compare our lives to those of our family and friends. And now in this digital age, our so-called friends on Facebook. There, we often see airbrushed lives and wonder, why isn't ours like that? Or perhaps we smugly dismiss theirs and something like, the grass may be greener, but boy, have you seen their water bill? Many of you no doubt know of the studies showing that there is a real psychological impact, primarily depression, among millennials and young adults who have found their own lives somehow worse and worse by comparison to their peers. Sometimes we compare up, I wish my life were like that. Sometimes we compare down, I'm so grateful that I don't have to go through that. If you never feel the need to compare, I applaud you. But I think it's safe to say that most all of us at some time or another do it. At its worst, we disparage someone else. They don't measure up to our standards. They have a whacked out worldview. They're ignorant. They're clueless. We often do this not for some noble pursuit of righting wrongs or naming injustices, but merely trying to make ourselves feel safer or better by comparison. At the next church conference that Sarah, Linda, and I attended, there was a rather disturbing occurrence. The music leaders at the opening worship led songs that had such masculine images of God. It had phrases like praise him and often using him as a capital H or father in the prayers. And what happened after, well, actually in the midst of the worship, we heard a pushback from the confreres. Praise God, they were saying almost in protest. We were informed the next day that these leaders received hateful Facebook posts and tweets from other confreres about their apparent insensitivity, so much so that these worship leaders left the conference. At this gathering of people seeking to understand mutual differences with race and ethnicity and sexual orientations that were different from the dominant culture, it would seem that even we couldn't see our own blindness to the larger issues of accepting people who maybe have a more masculine image understanding for God, or at least the language. Soon as we, any of us, are certain as to what is right, how we are right, it would seem we are most prone to get it wrong. Jesus, I think, may have been addressing a similar issue in the gospel. Here is a group who comes to him, presumably they are feeling pretty good about themselves and saying, well, you know, boy, what a disaster. Those people had their blood mixed with the sacrifices to the pagan gods. They're in essence looking into their neighbor's yard and thinking, what a shame. But Jesus doesn't let them gaze over the fence for long. He takes them right back into their yard. He says they are no different, and unless they repent, they will have a similar fate. You know that word, the word repent, metanoia, literally means to change one's mind. It is used twice as many times in Luke and Acts, which is, by the way, presumed by the same author, than all the other Gospels combined. To change one's mind. Think how hard it is. Think how difficult that is. It is a discipline. It requires the humility to admit that we may not be right. It is an ability to admit others may see things more clearly. And so Jesus opens their minds. He unsettles them, I think, in this calling out. But he never leaves them unsettled. He offers words of hope through a means that he so commonly employs, a parable. This fig tree is barren. Unfruitfulness is its sin. It is the proverbial tree with the axe at the base, which goes back to John the Baptist's warning in the desert. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Already the axe is lying at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down. In this case, the owner says it's wasting resources that could be used for other trees. But the gardener pleads for mercy. He asks the owner to allow him to specially tend to it, and then to see what happens. Now, it's always dangerous, I think, to try to correlate or correspond particular characters in a parable with, say, God or the Father or Jesus or whatever. But I think one takeaway here is important. You may recall in the Gospel of John at the empty tomb on Easter, Mary mistook Jesus for the gardener. So here we see Jesus as the life giver, the one who offers second chances to help us to change our mind, to be restored, to be made fruitful. Jesus moves over the fence that we are trying to keep secure in our lives, shows us the dead spots, and promises to care for them until they come back to life. All of us are living in a season of Jesus' second chances. And so then we are not to gaze over the fence and compare our lives with others so as to avoid looking at our own dead spots. This is not the way to grow the new life that Jesus has planted in us. No, Jesus moves over the fence to help us tend our lives as we grow in Him, in fruitfulness. We gain the ability to look upon others then as we grow like He does, with hope for their growth, not judging, not comparing, but simply tenderly loving them so they too can be fruitful. But it all starts in our own backyard. Today, as we go out to tend the gardens and the buildings and grounds around this campus, I want you to consider where your own life needs Jesus' special care. As you use your hands to weed or to clean or to paint or to fashion or to restore, take these simple acts of service as your commitment to be changed by Christ in this season of Lent. And to take this change of mind into your service beyond this place, to everywhere you go. Friends, I am confident we all can be fruitful. We all can be fruitful when we trust Jesus to tend our lives. When we trust Jesus to tend the lives of others, we share in the great fellowship that He has desired. And so, today is a starting point, a fresh start for you and for me. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we bend our knees, we lift up our hearts, giving glory to God forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.